Pilot number 71. Fonz, how are you?
Dude, I'm great, man. It's awesome. Hanging out with the Bulldog right now.
Yeah, yeah. It. We got the ball rolling. We're full steam ahead to the end of the year. It's going to be a great end of the year. It's going to be a great show. The Thanksgiving show, and we have a very special guest today.
Oh, man, yes. It's making me feel like a Long Beach native now, being in this house right now.
Yeah. You're not Long Beach until you're hanging out with our guest today, Justin Rudd. Justin Rudd, you were included in the 25 most influential people in Southern California. You were the founder of the Community Action Team.
Yes.
You helped start Rosie's Dog Beach. You've organized a beach cleanup here in the city for over 18 years. Wow. And it goes on and on. You organized the Hot Dog Easter Parade. You were presented in 2005 with the Environmental Volunteer Award by Keep California Beautiful. And why not? You were a hand model for Jim Carrey in the movie Liar, right. Liar. You've done so much. It's like kind of what life of Justin Rudd do we want to talk about today? But let's start with what's ahead shortly. You've also organized the Long Beach Turkey Trot. This is the 15th year. How did that get started, and how'd you play a role in getting it running?
So at the time, I was teaching beach boot camp classes in Long Beach, and I did that for 11 years. And I also found out that there was this big 5K, 10K race down in Dana Point called the Dana Point Turkey Trot. And I knew that I didn't want to go all the way down there to run. I was a runner at the time. On Thanksgiving morning, especially, I didn't want to drive all the way down there. So I said, hey, I'm going to start my own. And I also knew that I thought at the time they were getting 12,000 runners, and I said, gosh, if I could just get a fraction of that, and then I charge people and do it as a fundraiser, I can make some good money for my nonprofit, for my work that I'm doing here in Long Beach. And so I said, I'm going to start my own turkey trot. I'm going to call it the Long Beach Turkey Trot. And we had 500 people that showed up that first year. So we started at the Belmont Pier, and the next year had a few more people. We grew it all the way to 6,500 runners. This year, we're now at Granada Avenue. The Belmont Pool is no longer there, so we can't start there anymore. But we have a great fundraiser. And in fact, that fundraiser makes about 80 to 85% of my budget for the year.
Oh, wow.
So every person that's participating, runners or walkers, whether they're doing a 5K or a 10K, I'm very grateful that they do it. I'm thankful on Thanksgiving because they're paying my salary. They're paying all of the work that we do, all 62 events, contests, and projects that we do for the year because of that Long Beach Turkey Trot.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And not only are we raising money for my nonprofit Community Action Team, we are helping people to get a good workout before they go and eat later in the day.
So
we're working it off before they get to the supper table. But they also get to brag about it. You know, I ran a 5K this morning. They're wearing their t-shirt, or maybe their race bib.
You get to justify that second helping or third helping.
That's right.
Tell our audience what the event is. Tell us.
So Long Beach Turkey Trot is a 5K, 10K run or walk. You can run, walk, or jog, sprint, whatever. There's all levels. You've got people who are advanced who are really like going all out. It's run on the beach path. So it's a very flat, very scenic route on Thanksgiving morning. A 5K means 3.1 miles. A 10K means 6.2. So a 5K runner who starts at Granada Avenue, and that's where Rosie's Dog Beach is, goes toward downtown, and they turn around at the just below the art museum on the beach path. So that's a 5K out and back, and then the 10K goes all the way to Shoreline Village and back. That gives people somewhat of a reference.
Yeah, and more scenery.
That's right.
In the 10K.
That's right. And there's a kid's half mile run. We call it the half mile wingding.
Oh, that's neat. Everyone can get out and do a little bit of physical activity before they crush that turkey.
And they can register online in advance and save a little bit of money, or they can register on the day of. It's $40 on the day of the event.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Turkeytrot.us, or go to mynamejustinrudd.com, and they can find out all about it.
Do you still participate in the running?
No, I don't. I did for the first few years when it was like 500 or 600 people. But now that there are so many people that are participating, so I'm kind of organizing participants, volunteers, sponsors, dealing with traffic issues and parking issues.
Oh yeah.
So there's so much to deal with, and I'm a photographer, so I take my camera with me everywhere. So I'm the photographer.
You're wearing a bunch of hats.
A lot of hats.
So it's a little bit difficult to run.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're running around, but not on the
True.
On the on
you're
the
probably covering more than a 5K. Yeah. Yeah.
My mind is running too.
So when do you actually like start preparing for the run? For like, so it's for Thanksgiving, but does it take a whole year to get ready for it, or not
really? Anymore? Because we've done it for 15 years. So I usually put up on update the Facebook page and the website probably back in July and open registrations then. You get a trickle of people that are wanting to register early. They want to start training early, but the bulk of the participants register the week before the event.
Cool. People in races, people will wear funny costumes. Do you see any, or are there any notable costumes that you've seen over the years?
Yes. I teach at the Belmont Athletic Club body sculpting classes, and there's a man and a woman in my classes, and they wear a spoon and a fork every year. So, yeah, every year. It's like, I know exactly who you are because I've seen you. And then a lot of pilgrims. So people dress as turkeys.
Right.
And then you'll get random people like Superman or something that has nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
So it's family time. It's Thanksgiving. And so everyone's coming together.
Yes.
Do you ever notice or the person that came from the farthest, like traveled the farthest and done your run?
Mm-hmm.
Do you...
So because it is Thanksgiving and people are flying in or driving in to visit with their family, we from all over the country, all the way New York and Washington, all corners of the states, but also from overseas. People who are stationed overseas will come home, or people who might be studying abroad, they'll come home. So they're from all over the world, actually.
That's pretty awesome.
You can say that. Yeah, because it's such a...
So it's world famous.
The world famous. I think you got to add that for next year. The world famous Long Beach Turkey Trot. Tell our listeners about the Community Action Team. What is that?
Right. So I started my nonprofit about 15 years ago. I was actually doing events almost 19 years ago, and I've been in Long Beach for 20. But I got to a point where I was doing so many events, and it was taking so much of my time. Someone suggested that I start a 501c3 classification, or try to apply for that with the IRS, so that people get tax-deductible donations when they give money to an organization to help continue with their mission. So I filed paperwork with the IRS and got approved, and now we are an official 501c3. People can write donation checks, or they can enter the Turkey Trot as a donation, and then they get a tax write-off because of it. But the name of the nonprofit is Community Action Team, which is an acronym, C-A-T, which is ironic because I do a lot of D-O-G stuff, dog stuff. I love dogs. And when we were coming up with the name, that is certainly something that came up. It's just, you know, it's have a little fun with that name. But it is called Community because obviously it is community, and that's what we are about. And we're taking action. We're trying to get things done. And then teamwork, we work as a team to do everything that we're doing. So Community Action Team.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that on our way over here. It's like, oh, but he's a dog person. Why is it called Cat?
I know.
So it's like, I'm sure there had to be a list of other names you had on there.
There were. I don't recall them right now because that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's funny when people write their check. They say, who do I write my check to? I say Cat. Like we're at the dog event. But it is very easy to, no one misspells Cat.
Yeah, and I was thinking, all right, maybe... If we would have renamed it again, I would have helped them out. I would have came up with dog.
Yes.
Doing organized good.
Doing organized good. Yeah, there you go. Maybe that would fall under the umbrella for Cat. And one of my questions was, who notably have you helped throughout Cat's existence?
Notably.
Or any kind of
or what are you most proud of?
Provided for?
The one event that I am most proud of, it would be my Camp Justin. And I don't know that you wouldn't probably know any of the students that I work with by name, but it's significant. So each year, and I started this maybe 7 years ago, it was just a working title when I started this. And I wanted to have, I wanted to go to... Back in college, I went to Zambia on a singing team. I'm a singer, And I was with a group, and I loved it. I was there for a month. And then I wanted to go back on the 20th anniversary of us being in Zambia. I wanted to go back to Africa. But I tried to recruit my the singers that were with my group, but they were doing other things or family commitments. One had passed away, so it didn't work out. I said, well, instead of going back to Zambia for a week or 2 weeks, I'm going to have just something in Long Beach. I'm going to dedicate a week, quit, stop everything I'm doing 1 week and do something. And what I came up with was I'm going to have some sort of a camp for little kids and help them, kind of like a vacation Bible school when I was when I was a kid going to church. And it didn't work out. And I called the school district. I happened to know the organizer of the Long Beach Education Foundation, who is the education or the foundation for the school board. And I said, "Can you direct me?" And she said, "Yeah. What about some students from Milliken High School?" And she directed me to two organizations, and I got six from each of the groups. And these are kids who are very deserving, who maybe have not had quite the number of opportunities in life to go and explore, to dream and discover. One of my slogans for my website, justinred.com, is Explore, Dream, Discover. And I wanted to help these 12 students to be able to do that. They're very familiar with their route from home to school and back every day. That's pretty much what they know. But other than that, not so much. I wanted to expose them to the city council members. I'm friends with them. I want them to be able to meet them. So I organized dinners and breakfasts and lunches. We had lunch on the Queen Mary with the mayor. So they got to have an intimate lunch with the mayor of Long Beach. We stayed overnight on the Queen Mary. They've all seen the Queen Mary, but I don't know if they've even been on it, much less spent the night on it. I flew them to Las Vegas, first time on airplanes. Sometimes it feels like they're looking out the windows like a little kid on an airplane for the first time. But these are high schoolers, incoming seniors. We stayed at a five-star hotel. We stayed at the Bellagio. I had never stayed at a five-star hotel. It's pretty amazing. But the funding all came from a fellow who believed in what I was doing. He actually asked, could I help fund the 30-minute beach cleanup? I want to give some money. And he was into the environment. And I said, you know what? We don't need so much money for the 30-minute beach cleanup because it just kind of runs itself and the refreshments are already paid for. He said, and I said, well, there is something that I want to do, and I just don't have the money to do it. He wrote me a check for, I think it was $12,000, just wrote it like that. And then the next year, even before I had a chance to ask him, this was a few months in advance, he wrote the check and paid for the whole thing.
Right on.
Yeah, so it's very generous. And so I just continued to do this each year, give them experiences, like we'll go to museums and botanical gardens. I'll take them to the cliffs in Palos Verdes, where they probably never would have known about it or had the opportunity to do that.
Right.
We'll have etiquette lessons at a five-star restaurant. We'll make pizzas in the back of Rance's Pizza up on 2nd Street with the owner. He teaches the students how to make their own pizza and bake it, and then they get to eat it.
That's great.
Those are fantastic experiences.
Yeah, Camp Justin.
What's the mission statement for CAT?
I don't have anything specifically written out, but basically what we do, our purpose and the idea is to do beach cleanups to help keep the beach clean and safe, to help with animal welfare projects, to help ultimately get dogs adopted out, spayed and neutered. Those are some of the things. And then we helped to start Rosie's Dog Beach. And then the other thing is to help with kids events and some educational things and some arts events. There's 62 events, contests and projects each year, and they all revolve basically around that.
Majority in Long Beach.
Yeah, it's Long Beach.
That's fantastic.
For example, Operation Santa Paws, which I do, and it starts the December
Santa
1st.
Santa Paws?
Paws, yeah.
Yes.
So what we do is I organize, and this was maybe 15 or 16 years ago, this fun, it's kind of like a food drive, a canned food drive or a clothing drive, but we do it for shelter dogs and cats. So we put collection bins around town at like Petco's or veterinarians' offices, and we ask people to donate toys and treats for shelter dogs and cats or cleaning supplies for shelters, and then people donate them. And usually on the Saturday before Christmas, we go and we deliver those things to shelters. And now there's probably 26 states that use our name and our model and do it with us, in conjunction with us. I happen to lead the effort at 4 shelters in Long Beach, in LA County and Orange County that morning.
Gotcha. You're from Alabama.
I am. I lived there 26 years.
26 years.
Yeah.
That's a long ways from Long Beach.
It is. Three-day drive.
How'd you find Long Beach? What brought you here?
Yeah. At the time I was dating, my partner was living in North Hollywood, and I moved to North Hollywood. I knew one person, him, when I moved here. And it's just, I have fallen in love with California. We broke up. I moved to Long Beach. I came to Long Beach to visit, fell in love with Long Beach, and have been here for 20 years. This year, maybe even this month, somewhere around this time, I moved to Long Beach.
Gotcha. It's always about love.
Yeah.
It's always about love.
So do you miss Alabama?
I am fortunate. I get to go back there once or twice a year, and I see family, and I miss aspects of it. I love the big city where I am now. In fact, when I grew up, I bet there were 10 houses in my neighborhood, because we lived out in the country. And here, I think there's 8,000 people just in this neighborhood. A lot more people. So I like the hustle and bustle of it. I like the activity. I love being able to help to influence a lot of people. I believe that God put me here at this time in this place to do exactly what I'm doing, and it's working out. It feels good, and I feel at peace with what I'm doing here.
Is there anything that you would like to bring back from Alabama to Long Beach, or that we could like make even Long Beach better if a little Alabama came over here, other than yourself? Other than yourself, of course.
I think people talk about Southern hospitality, and I'm trying to bring Southern hospitality here, but I'm trying just to bring some values of what I grew up and how I was raised here. Some of the events that I started, even like the kids' bike parade on the 4th of July, and it's a basic thing, and I love being able to bring something like that to here, or a father-daughter dance, or even a dog parade. I guess they could have started anywhere, but those are things, small-town ideas and events that I try to bring here.
Speaking of small-town and Thanksgiving, this is a Thanksgiving show, Fonz.
Yeah.
Justin,
yeah.
This is a Thanksgiving show.
Yes.
What do you remember as a kid during Thanksgiving? What are some of your favorite memories?
Well, I have a twin brother and two older sisters, and so all of us would usually go over to my grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Sometimes on Thanksgiving night we would go, or no, I'm confusing that with Christmas. We would go to my grandmother's sister's house, but we visit with family. Family would come to town. Town was Ozark, 13,000 people. So it was good to see them. What else? I obviously remember eating food. And
yes.
I wish that today I had some of that yams with marshmallows on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Marshmallows.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's real good.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like they roast it in the oven, and so it's roasted marshmallows on the top, and kind of delicious.
Yeah. It's real good.
And then, what about you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, the other thing that I remember, another thing I didn't like, is my grandmother used to make two kinds of dressings. One had oysters in it, and one did not. I think it was my dad that liked the oyster part. It's not my thing, so I would always make sure to get the one without the oysters.
Yeah, okay. Fonz, what about you?
Oh, you know, with growing up, it would be the making of tamales.
Okay.
Grandma had us lined up. She had an assembly line set up, and so I had to help her out.
She would work. You would make them.
So everything was like everybody had their job, right? Everybody had their job. So my job was to hand the almost done tamale to put it in, so she can put it in the pot, and she's the only person that can ever put it in the pot, because then it would come out all messed up. So she could put them in, and she had to take them out. So I was like the last. I was the handoff to her putting them in the pot. But so that's the closest I ever got
to
putting them in the pot.
You got to putting it in the pot, and you're like, so one day.
I'm seeing how you're doing it over there. But it was like an assembly line. There was someone like washing the corn husk, and then someone like slapping the mash into it and putting the grapes, or doing different, not grapes, but the raisins or the meat or whatever, rolling them up. And she was the last person to put them in there.
In the pot.
And I was just like, all right,
so
here's another one.
She's playing like Tetris in there, probably.
Yeah.
Feel as many as you can.
And then she knew where, like, because she'll make like three or four different kinds. So she knew exactly where they were at. And like, if the meat ones were on the bottom, because they take longer to cook. And then, there's a method.
Oh, I see.
So it's like, that's why no one can do it. So that's what I remember, that and eating them, of course.
Nice.
You know, I also remember going deer hunting or turkey hunting with my dad and my brother. That's just something that you do back in the South. You go hunting. Everybody has a gun.
Yeah.
But I actually remember it being very cold and waking up early because you got to get there before the sun comes up. And just sitting out in the woods, and I'm hating it. I did not like it. So
did you ever get one?
No.
No?
You know, I don't even think I ever saw one.
You know, the worst part, I feel like if you go fishing, like you're out of the water, so you talk, right? Like you go fishing, you can commute. I feel like with hunting, you have to be quiet.
You do. You have to be silent.
You're there hours without talking, and you never see anything.
Yeah, and never shot anything. In fact, I never intended to even shoot. In my mind, if I ever saw something, I was going to miss it on purpose because I didn't want to harm an animal.
Look at you. Yeah, so, that's foreshadowing, right?
And then the other thing was, more than anything, I just wanted to get home and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So that I love song and dance and big production, and that's what the parade was for me back then growing up. And, my Thanksgiving.
Turkey Day.
What about you, Walt?
You know, for me, you know this, my mom makes, I'm Salvadorian, so my mom makes this like turkey sandwich. They're called panes con pavo. And I remember waking up early to go buy all the bread. So you're pretty much putting it in like what looks like a French roll and a bolillo. And I'd go early in the morning to buy it, and it was freshly made. It was freshly made. And so that smell, and like you can just eat the bread without putting any turkey on it. Yeah. And so that smell of that fresh bread, that's kind of one of my earliest memories.
That's a good memory because that pan con pavo, that gravy is amazing.
Yeah, when I got older and I became friends with these guys in middle school and some other friends, you guys would come over and that was fun.
We would always bring our own bag of bread just so we can have it because it would run out.
Because the bread would run out. But earliest, I remember that smell of that bread early in the morning. So you don't get it as much anymore, but that's all right. You know, we get older and we start our own traditions.
That's right. Yeah.
Like
podcasting. I was asking you earlier about what you would bring back from Alabama because the only thing that I could, in my head, like I want one of these here in Long Beach close by is a Waffle House. I want a Waffle House close by.
Community action team's on it, Vaughn. Don't worry.
I've had plenty of Waffle House.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you became a runner to balance it out. I think it's a good place to take a break.
Yeah.
All righty.
Spend your years, spend your time, all these tears, not all in mine. I just want to thank you.
The pilot number 71, the Thanksgiving show with
Gobble Gobble
with Justin Rudd, Walt, Fonz, POTUS. POTUS is in the house. Who's POTUS?
POTUS is my English bulldog. He's 4.5 years old, and POTUS is an acronym, President of the United States. So this is your POTUS right here.
So if I hashtag POTUS, he'll come out.
Yeah. Or Donald Trump.
That's more a comforting sight. That's cool.
He's on Facebook. POTUS the Bulldog has a few thousand fans.
I'd rather see his face in here than the other guy.
Yeah, I feel you. I agree, Fonz. I agree. Speaking of people in power, you've been listed as top 10 most powerful people in Long Beach, according to LBPost.com.
Yep. Yeah.
You ever think about getting into politics?
I have thought about it. And there was a time where I did put my name in to run for the 3rd district. This was maybe 12 years ago. I quickly realized it's not the thing that I wanted to be doing. Politics has a lot of behind-the-scenes politics, and it's not my thing, or at least not right now. I'm not going to say I'm never going to run for office, but I have no intention at this time or in the near future to run for office. I enjoy doing what I'm doing, making a difference this way that I'm doing it and not in a political way. I'm friends with lots of politicians, thankfully, and I've developed relationships with them, but not right now for me.
Are you happy with how Long Beach is operating? What's great? What can be improved?
I am happy that with the progress that Long Beach is making, even over the 20 years that I've lived here, to see growth. Downtown's looking great. And to see all of the buildings that are going up, like the new courthouse, or those tall residential complexes down there, or the new civic center that's going in, the library, the park, all of that.
The Ferris wheel.
Yeah. So the Pike was not there when I moved here. So, you know, the Queen Mary's being redone right now. All of that construction up on the Lakewood border at the McDonnell Douglas area by the airport, all of that is pretty great. Now watching PCH and Second, all that project, that's coming down the hotel and new stuff going in. I just like to see progress, and I know that we can all do better. We all have room for improvement, everybody, as in Long Beach as a city does, but I love being a part of it and helping in my own way.
Okay, right on. Your own way helped create Rosie's Dog Beach?
Yeah. So this was 16 years ago. I was living a block from the beach, and I wanted to take my English bulldog, Rosie, to the beach, but it was not legal. This was back before you could Google or go online and search stuff online. I needed to find a city code, which is a law, that would allow dogs on the beach. I was trying to find a way. It had been illegal for 35 years. So I went to the downtown library, and I'm also...
old school.
Yeah, this is old school. I'm kind of a geek this way. I liked to look and find laws and study them to know what the law actually says about something. I would research stuff, everything from news racks on the street to how long a yellow curb can be, or when can you park at a yellow curb and not be cited, or when can a dog be on the beach. I found one that said dogs can be on the beach during a special event. I was, at the time, I was participating in the AIDS walk, and they had a part where you could walk your dog in the AIDS walk, and they were walking on the beach, and I'm thinking, how can they get on the beach when it's not legal? And that's when I found this code, and I said, that's my ticket. So I held a special event. I applied for the permit from the city of Long Beach and got insurance and all that, and then held it on a June Sunday afternoon, and about 500 dogs showed up during a four-hour period. And then the next month, I did the same thing. The next month, the same thing. So about 21 Sundays had these dog afternoons on the beach, and huge numbers would come, and they'd come from Palm Springs, from downtown LA, from the Valley, all over, just to bring their dog and to be off leash to run and fetch balls in the ocean, tennis balls. And it was popular. It was clean. It was safe. And at the end of a three-year period, it became an all-day, every-day legal place, and now it's 4 acres. It's named after Rosie. It's called Rosie's Dog Beach.
That's fantastic.
Rosie, your dog, right?
Rosie, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I have a bunch of coworkers that use the beach that don't live in Long Beach, and so they're really happy about that. They love it. Also, just walking by ourselves just to see all the dogs, and sometimes we get close, and then the dogs get close to us, so it just... For me, it's great. I don't have a dog. I wish I could. But just to be able to hang out with them out there is pretty fun.
I think it's fun for me to go. I call it my happy place. I go there and I see dogs running around having a fun time. I see smiles on their faces. I see smiles on people's faces, the owners of the dogs. I know that they go home tired and worn out. They're better socialized, which is good for everybody. Rosie's Dog Beach is bringing people to the beach who have never been there, who never would have gone there, or bringing people back who had been so many years ago and had no reason to return. There was Long Beach in the past has had a kind of a bad reputation for having a dirty beach. It was not clean in the water or the sand, and we've helped to improve that with my 30-minute beach cleanups right there. Over the last 18 and a half years, but people are coming back to the beach because of Rosie's Dog Beach. And I like that.
You said 4 acres. That has to be one of the biggest beaches, dog beaches.
Right? It is pretty big. And it is consistently named in the top few dog beaches in the country. We are so lucky to have it. Other cities around the Los Angeles area have tried because Pacific Coast goes way up. Obviously, but along LA County and like Santa Monica, the Pacific Palisades, right under the flight path of LAX, they've all tried but have had no success. I think the success of Rosie's Dog Beach was because I stayed consistent with my message. I messaged everybody. I was taking email addresses, everybody that came to those dog afternoons on those Sundays, and I compiled this database. Every week, I was telling them what was going on and how they can help to make this an all-day, full-time dog beach and not just a once-a-month dog beach. And I would just say consistent and persistent with it. Got to know who on the city council had a dog. Who were those decision makers that were going to help us get this approved? Editors and writers, people who are on commissions, the California Coastal Commission, the fire department, the lifeguards, the marine patrol, all those people, special events, the city's parks, recreation, and marine advisors, and all those people. And it worked out.
It's the only dog beach in LA County.
It is. Yeah. The only off-leash dog beach in LA County.
That's wow. Awesome.
LA County has 10 million people. So this is the only place where you can come. Those 10 million people can come here off-leash, free, and there's no fence. It's just an area outlined with some markers that people can come and bring their dog.
Well, LA has one Justin Rudd, and we got him. Long Beach has him. So that's the missing. That's the key factor right there. Yeah. Why we have that
good
beach.
Place.
So let's switch gears a little bit. You coach women for Miss USA, Miss America. What countries have they represented?
So back when I was in college, I was helping with the local Miss America preliminary as Miss Samford University. It's a school that I went to in Birmingham, and I was just a volunteer. And then I became their announcer, and then I helped do some other stuff. And after college, a friend and I, Yancey, helped me to start the preliminary in Southeast Alabama for the Miss USA pageant. So the winners of our teen and our Miss Southeast Alabama USA won the state level. So they became Miss Alabama USA. So she went to the Miss USA pageant and did well. Same thing with our teen winner. And the next year, the same. So we won the state level the second year, and then they went to the state pageants. And then other women would ask me to help them get prepared for that. And it's when I say help them get prepared, I mean with onstage questions or interviews. I can give them a little bit of advice about what I like, the way that they're looking or they're presenting themselves on stage, but mainly I'm helping with what's going on in their mind and how they can communicate positive messages that are going to help the judges decide to choose them as the title holder.
Got it.
Yeah.
Have you been a judge before?
Oh, I've judged a lot all over the country. And when I'm coaching, it's they'll pay me through PayPal, and then I will have a time and a date and a phone number, and I'll sit here at my desk here in my one bedroom apartment, and I'll call them. We'll talk for an hour, and I'll just help them for an hour, and then we'll book another session. That's how it works.
The reason I bring this up too, because I've always wondered, me and Fonz have talked, and you know, there's judges, but I wonder if I can make a request and ask if there could ever be a referee. Like, I could be a Miss America referee. Maybe they can be like a competition, like a hoops in heels, play up to 21, okay. Right?
Because we have some twisted ankles.
that's whoever doesn't, right? Whoever survives advances.
Survivor of the fittest.
Because I feel the judging. You break it down to where it's a little bit more objective, but I feel judging can be subjective, right?
Absolutely.
And so
a lot of things are subjective. I also, since I moved to Long Beach, my nonprofit has bought the Miss Long Beach pageant, which started in 1951. I've made a lot of changes to the Miss Long Beach pageant. There's no longer a swimsuit competition. So we have fitness wear. So you can, you, can choose to wear something a little more form-fitting if you'd like, but it takes away that a little bit more of that objectivity. And we're trying to get more focused on what's going on in their head and their heart.
All right. Well, if you ever get stuck, hoops and heels.
Okay.
Hoops and heels. I can referee. I got pretty good knowledge of basketball.
Sounds good.
Speaking of sports, War Eagle or Roll Tide?
War Eagle.
War Eagle. Yeah, right? Auburn man.
Yeah,
right,
all of my family went to Auburn except for me. And it's a great place. I have visited many times growing up. My grandparents used to take us in their Winnebago, and we'd go to the Auburn games. I live 2 hours from Auburn University, and so we, you know, in Alabama, you either go to school in your Auburn shirt or your Alabama shirt. So we were always Auburn fans. I happened to want to go to a smaller school, which I ended up at Samford University, and I don't know who won today's game or even when it is. I don't watch football. I don't watch it religiously anymore. Yeah. But I do know that Auburn beat number one Georgia last week.
They certainly did. That's
by, right. By a lot. So that's looking good. War Eagle.
I think when that game ended, that particular game, maybe you felt something in your blood. And you're like, did something happen right now?
Yeah.
It's your, that your Auburn tie. What do you have coming up for the rest of the year? What's going on with Justin Rudd and the events?
So Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving morning, and then starting December 1st is Operation Santa Paws, which I told you about, and that will last for 3 weeks. And then we have we always help people with beds and blankets. I call it bears, beds, blankets. So we help to identify people who are in need, and then we help to get those people their need. And we do that especially at Christmas time. And then the other thing that I'm offering at Christmas is on December the 10th, which is a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, is our free concert. And that's held, I hold it at Bayshore Church, which is here in Belmont Shore where we are right now. It's across the street. And people can come to a free concert. There's a 25-piece professional musicians who play Christmas music for 90 minutes. And it's an amazing concert. It's free, and it's all because of money that we raise at the Long Beach Turkey Trot. We've done that for several years now, and it allows people who might otherwise not be able to afford to go to a professional Christmas concert to be able to do it for free. Tickets are required, and it sells out quickly. If you're listening to this now, I would get your ticket. Go to justinrudd.com and sign up and get tickets for your family. And then right after that concert that night, we hold the Long Beach Christmas Cookie Contest, and it's a tasting reception. So anybody that wants to, that they feel like they're really good at making Christmas cookies, they could bring a batch, and then it's judged during the concert, and then at the end of the concert, we'll go into the fellowship hall, and people can sample cookies that everybody brought. The Long Beach Christmas Cookie Contest.
And then
the beach cleanup is always the third Saturday of the month. So is that the 16th of December? Something
so,
around
yeah.
there. The Saturday, it's at 10 o'clock.
And I saw a bunch of books outside.
Oh, yeah. That's Riley's Red Wagon Book Swap. So it's here on the corner of the Toledo and Corona, and it's there every day. I started that 4.5 years ago. Riley was my second bulldog after Rosie. They lived together for a while here in this apartment. But when Riley was older and his legs didn't work so well, I wanted to be able to take him up to Second Street, so I'd put him in the Red Wagon and to go for coffee or to go to lunch.
So that's actually his wagon?
Yeah, it was. Wow. Actually, it got stolen.
Oh,
this
no
is
way.
The actual wagon got stolen. This is a replacement.
Oh.
But I saw a friend had a book swap at 7th and near Cherry, on Cherry near 7th. And I said, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that, but I'm going to put the books in the wagon, and I put it in my front yard. And I basically put a sign on it saying, it's basically bring a book and take a book. And now we have about 450 selections every day. There's kids' books, teenager books, and books for adults. And there's magazines from this month and next month. There's probably 2 dozen magazine subscriptions out there every day, current subscriptions, which would cost you $5 at a store or so. I don't buy magazines, but I would think they're $5. But it's there, and you can come and get them for free. Take 4 books at a time, bring those back, and get 4 more.
That's awesome.
Riley's Red Wagon Book Swap. And it's there every day for the last 4.5 years. People can drop off books if they want. We accept books within the last 20 years or classic books that are older.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Justin, you do so much. Is there anything we fail to ask or anything you want to bring up?
You know, my biggest event by far is called Long Beach Touch a Truck. It happens usually in May or June. This in 2018, it'll be in May. It's co-sponsored with Councilwoman Susie Price's office. We get about 13,000 spectators at this event. It's at Granada Avenue in the parking lot. We park about 120 big vehicles. These are trash trucks and street sweepers, mail trucks, a UPS truck, John Deere tractors, 18-wheelers, Harley Davidsons, big vehicles that kids and adults see every day, but they don't get a chance to explore it. You don't get to get inside or sit in that driver's seat, and that's what Long Beach Touch a Truck is. It's free. You stand in a line just like Disneyland, and you go and you get to sit in that driver's seat, honk the horn, you know, push some buttons. There's fire trucks and police cars and cranes. The port brings big, unusual vehicles. So I think the most sought-after vehicle that day would be the trash truck and the recycle truck. Kids are fascinated by that.
Yeah. Western Waste is like, that's our day. Yeah. Truck's our day.
Yeah.
Justin, thank you for your service to Long Beach.
You're welcome.
It has been a pleasure. And I look forward to all these events. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, if anybody wants to participate, go to justinrudd.com, and you can see the list of all of them. If they want to be a volunteer, we're always looking for volunteers. It's justinrudd.com/volunteer. It'll just ask you to sign up for your email address, and then when we have opportunities, we put them out there right to you.
Cool. And again, Thanksgiving Day, the Long Beach Turkey Truck. Come on out, run, make some room for that turkey,
that's right,
and enjoy the fresh Long Beach air.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, the pilot number 71, good stuff.
Hey, man, thanks so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.